The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
It's time to turn the pages. It's time to type it right. It's time to get things started on the most booktational, inspirational Once Upon an Author show. Here's your host, Danielle M. Orsino. Yay!
Because no matter how small an act of kindness or generosity or simple positivity you put into this world, it will make a difference. From my hero, Wonder Woman. Today's episode will be about Wonder Woman because October 21st was actually Wonder Woman Day. Not her birthday, her birthday's in March, but Wonder Woman Day to celebrate exactly what she means to women and how women have embodied her moving forward. So let's dive in. Once upon a time, in December 1941, Wonder Woman made her debut in All-Star Comics No. 8. Created by psychologist William Moulton Marston, she was envisioned as a female superhero who would embody strength, compassion, and empowerment. As I said, with October 21st being Wonder Woman Day, I thought now is a perfect time to explore her profound influence on me as a person and, of course, as a writer. So let's jump in for Once Upon an Author, Wonder Woman Day. As we delve into Wonder Woman's impact on my life and writing today, I'll share with you how her strength, compassion shaped not only my fictional worlds, but also my understanding of friendship and support. But as we explore these themes, let's remember, there's so much more to her story than meets the eye. There's more than just the star-spangled bloomers, the bustier, Linda Carter, Gal Gadot. It's much more than that. We'll try to uncover the deeper layers of what makes Wonder Woman a timeless icon. As a preschooler, I found myself ostracized for not being dark enough to play with the African-American kids, but not being white enough to play with the Caucasian kids. I'm Italian-Puerto Rican. When I was little, I was a little darker, jet black hair. Obviously, this red, if you can see it, is not my real color. But they didn't let me play with them. I wasn't allowed in each group. So I kind of spent a lot of my recesses in preschool, completely alone, with my imagination once again, playing Wonder Woman in my head. But I kind of got tired of that. I wanted to play with the other kids. I mean, look, I'm not an overly social person, trust me on that. But as a kid, you want to play with the other kids. You see them having fun. They're playing kickball. They're in the sandbox, whatever they're doing. And eventually you realize you're not like that. So you want to assimilate as much as you can. But I noticed there were two groups. The African-American kids stayed on one side, the white kids stayed on the other. And that was confusing to me, partly because of what I had seen on Wonder Woman. Everybody liked her. There was never a gender issue, a race issue, color, creed. That never came into effect with her. It wasn't really an impact on her. Everybody was the same. So my little brain interpreted it as I have to get everybody to play together. And then I can play too. So one day after asking to play and being told no, I was feeling particularly Wonder Woman-like. So I actually jumped into the classroom and grabbed a box of Crayola 64 color crayons. If you remember those, you know what I mean. That box was big, but it was beautiful. And what I did was I grabbed another piece of construction paper and I marched my little butt out there. First, I went to the African-American kids. I took the construction paper, took out the black crayon, and drew all over it and told them, see, you're not black like the color. You're these pretty colors. And I grabbed brown, tan, different shades, and scribbled on the paper. And I said, look how pretty you are. I want to be pretty too. I want to play. They kind of looked at me like I grew another head and didn't quite get it. So I walked over to the white kids. Did the same thing with a white crayon. And I said, you're not really white. You're peach. You're this. And I kind of did the same thing. And at the end of it, they all came together. We played. But I took the crayon box and I peeled off all the colored labels and broke them in half and divided them between the two groups. It was lovely. I never played alone after that day. The kids didn't see it as anything. And once again, my little brain, I just wanted to play. I wanted to be Wonder Woman. Now, looking back on it, maybe there was a different way to go about it. I'm not sure, but from a kid's point of view, it was very simple. I want to play. That's it. So we played. We had a great time until I got in trouble. You can't break crayons in a preschool. They don't like that. They don't want to have to buy more. So I got in trouble. Got pulled in. Teacher wanted to know why I ruined the crayon box. I peeled all the colors off so there were no labels. And once again, at the time, being a preschooler, I didn't get the significance of what I was doing. I just wanted to play. So they called my parents down. We were in a co-op complex and the preschool was at the base. So it was by the pool and stuff like that. My mom lived right up the road or right up the stairs. So they came down. They asked what the problem was. The teacher explained it. And my dad still was like, I don't understand. So he looked at me. He's like, why did you do that? And I looked up at him and I happened to be wearing a little cape that day because I wore capes all the time. I don't know. And I said, I want to be an ambassador like Wonder Woman. And my parents kind of stepped back and looked at each other and then looked at the teacher. And all my mom could say was, tell me one four-year-old who knows the word ambassador and what it means. And they took me by the hand and walked me out. I didn't get in trouble. They thought maybe I could have done things a little differently and not broken the crayons, but they understood what I was doing. A couple days later, the teacher noticed everybody was playing together. There were no more groups. She called my parents up and said, your daughter's a little ambassador. Let her watch as much Wonder Woman as she wants. Have fun, because if that's what she does and she can keep that kindness, then she'll go places. I don't know if I kept the kindness. I'd like to think I did, but yes, the world has jaded me possibly a little bit. Like I said, looking back, I realized how naive. My intentions were pure, but I was still kind of naive about the whole thing. So I figured out I wanted to connect and I wanted to foster an understanding amongst my peers. Like I said, I just wanted to play. And I was inspired by Wonder Woman to do so. The experience taught me the importance of bridging gaps. It's not always easy. It's really never easy when you think about it. But learning from others and seeing that and watching Wonder Woman helped that into adulthood. Like I said, I've gotten a little jaded, as we all do when we grow up. But holding on to that piece of her really helped me socially, because I was very socially awkward. I'll be the first to admit it. I was a very socially awkward kid. I enjoyed living in my head, playing in my head, and having my own imagination. As I said, sometimes I wanted to play with the kids, but I never quite knew how to get in. I don't know if anybody else has experienced that, but I was always on the outside looking in. I could go and visit for a little while, but I didn't have that group of friends. Even as a little kid going up all through high school, I never had that whole Sex in the City thing with girls where you all like hang out and talk and blah, blah, blah. I had one or two friends, but I didn't have that group. So there was always this social awkwardness to me. But keeping that spark of Wonder Woman definitely helped me. Now, growing up past preschool, I kind of took that spark of Wonder Woman a little too seriously at times, and I became known as the justice kid on the playground. I couldn't stand bullies. While I had my fair share of experiences with them, I didn't always stand up for myself. That was something I'm still struggling with and learning, but I couldn't take it when I would watch another kid get bullied and the crying or just the embarrassment, because I felt that. I knew what that was like. And it bothered me so much because I still couldn't grasp why it was even happening. Nobody did anything to each other. Why were we doing this? So I often intervened, probably when I shouldn't have, got my butt kicked more than once on the playground. But I still wanted to make a difference like Wonder Woman. And I was still that naive kid. One incident in particular, I remember was probably about whenever E.T. came out. So that must be second grade, first grade, something like that for me. There, I just told you my age. Kid was being teased because they didn't have shoelaces. They had Velcro. And a lot of kids saw it as, oh, you don't know how to tie your shoes. Now, I don't know if this classmate did or not. I don't remember that. But I just remember watching this little boy crawl into himself and try to justify Velcro sneakers. And when you think about it, Velcro sneakers, really? That's what we're doing right now? That's what we got to justify, is wearing Velcro. So I marched up, puffed out my little chest. Now, for those of you who don't know me, you can't see me, I am 5'2 in adulthood. Can you imagine how small I was in first grade? I was literally an elf. I was tiny. I had a big mouth, but I was very tiny. It garnered me the nickname Little Big Mouth, but I had no problem walking up. So I walked up to this person, said, what's wrong with you? They can wear whatever they want. Do you know how to tie a shoelace? Maybe they're just doing it and being faster so they can get outside and play faster. Yeah, I didn't always win those battles. In fact, that one I believe wound up in a fight and I wound up crying over it, you know, at the end of it. But for me, it wasn't always about winning. It was just about taking a stance and willing to speak and support others. Again, in my little brain, I didn't understand the gravity of these situations or what I was really doing. I just kept emulating Wonder Woman. And in those moments, I felt a connection to her, a reminder that true strength often lies in compassion and bravery, not just physical power. Because once again, I was a tiny little thing. It wasn't about protecting others. It was creating a space and a sense of belonging and community, something that I wanted as a kid, but couldn't figure out how to do exactly. So as I grew up, she remained an influence in my life. Her strength, resilience became a source of inspiration, especially during very challenging moments. So one particular day that stands out to this day, I remember, and if my Taekwondo instructor is watching this, Mr. McLaughlin, I'm sure he can attest to what happened. I was taking my green belt test in Taekwondo. Now, I was a full adult. I wasn't a kid anymore. I was about 19. But with Taekwondo, usually around green belt, this is like intermediate level, you have to break boards for the first time. I'm not talking cement blocks. I'm just talking about one little pine, 1-inch board. But for me, I was terrified because if you didn't break it, you didn't pass. This was that make or break moment, so to speak. To add on to that, the head of my organization, Mr. Bishop, was coming to judge for the first time. This man hated me. When I say hated, I mean, he would just look at me and you could just feel when somebody doesn't like you. That was him. Just didn't like me, didn't like anything I stood for, would often tell me I'm not tall enough to be a Taekwondo champion. I'm not thin enough. I'm a girl, all these things, which only, you know, fueled me. And then I had to break all of his records and I had to just be a little, you know, wisecracker, but whatever. There was so much anxiety for this test, knowing he was going to be there and he would have the final say. He could outrank my instructor. It was nerve wracking. I mean, totally freaking out. I didn't sleep the night before. The whole day leading up to it, I was just one big ball of energy. So I had a little plan in my head. I figured I needed a confidence boost. Now, when you say that to most women, they're like, I'll put on a little lipstick. I'll do this. I'll change my hair. I didn't think of that. Instead, I made a Wonder Girl costume. Deborah Winger's version, which was like half blue, half red, and then it had the stars going down. Yeah. I found a red tank top and did that and put a blue one over it because I wasn't sewing that much at that point. And took stars and glued them on. And I wore it under my uniform. Now, once again, for those of you who don't know, sometimes Taekwondo is really strict about uniforms. In my case, you had to wear all white. You couldn't wear black, nothing. It was just all white uniform, white underneath. So during the test, it was time to break. But when I moved, my instructor noticed the red underneath my uniform, called me up to the desk, turned his back to Bishop and just said, what are you doing? What is that? And I opened it up and I said, it's my Wonder Girl costume. He laughed. He smirked. And then he kind of rolled his eyes and he said, do you have bracelets? Are you wearing the bracelets? And I pulled up my sleeves. I said, no, but they're in my locker. And he lifted his head back and just let out this sigh of, I can't believe I'm going to let her do this. And he goes, go get them. And I looked at him. I was like, what? He goes, you're about to break. He's like, he's going to make you break stuff that I didn't plan on. He's like, just go get him. So I got to wear my bracelets. And yeah, I felt a lot better. It was funny how that happened. Broke my boards, passed my test. Bishop still made me cry afterwards because he gave me his evaluation of me. I didn't cry in front of him. I waited. At least I waited. But it reminded me how much Wonder Woman is always in you. Now, I don't know, would I have passed regardless? Yeah, I'd like to think I would have passed no matter what. But wearing that outfit really did give me just a little something. And I appreciated that so much that I wound up doing it whenever I had a bad day at work. I had a Wonder Woman necklace I would wear. Sometimes I would actually put my bracelets on under my scrubs and thought, okay, negativity's just going to like deflect off me the same way she did with her bracelets and bullets. I just needed something. And I still do to this day. When I used to compete, I always had my Wonder Woman necklace on all the time. When I took my NCLEX for nursing, I was wearing a Wonder Woman t-shirt, kind of like I am now, even though you can't see me. I have my bracelets on for those of you who are watching and can see this on Facebook. Yes, I even have my bracelets. These are the ones I wear. So in the end, I realized how much she meant to me, but I didn't know she would eventually influence me in my writing because I never wanted to be an author. That wasn't something I thought of. It wasn't entering my mind. I did not set out to be this. And we'll get into that whole story because that's a good one. But I never thought about it. So when I think now to those little moments and I realize the base it was building, the foundation, and I look at my series, my women are all strong. Good, bad, indifferent. They're all very strong women. And they all carry a certain message. Yes, they're fae. Some of them are mermaids. You know, they're all different creatures. But none of my women are weak. They all stand up for what they believe in. They all help each other. They're not fighting over men. It's none of that. They're all real girlfriends. And probably because I wish I had that. But I like to think that I took from Wonder Woman and just transferred that essence into my characters. And as I've said before, to this day, I love Wonder Woman. Love everything that she does. I have a picture of Linda Carter holding up a sign. Hi, Danny. Sorry, I missed you. I've got a letter from her talking about, you know, carry on the tradition. My tiara has been passed, which, yes, it's framed in like archival glass and everything because I never want anything to happen to that. But it went as far as Linda Carter was doing a concert. For those of you who don't know, she sings. She has an incredible voice. And she goes on tour every now and then. They're very small venues. And I actually went dressed up as Wonder Woman. I kid you not, because it was a city. I thought everybody would do. But before I tell you that story, we're going to get into a quick PSA and then come right back. And I'll tell you what happened when I went to a Linda Carter concert dressed as Wonder Woman.
543,288 Pennsylvanians are living with brain injury, and it is estimated that up to 50% of those persons have a history of substance misuse. If you or someone close to you has a history of substance misuse and brain injury, the Brain Injury Association of Pennsylvania wants you to know you are not alone. Please contact the Brain Injury Resource Line at 800-444-6443. We can help with information and resources.
Man, that story was just incredible, Danielle. I mean, the fact that you were trying to go against, you know, the norms of your taekwondos, dealing with everything and learning the responsibilities / the confidence that you get from your mental state in your Wonder Woman thing. It's just incredible.
Oh, thank you. That's my chosen producer, Tyler, who's absolutely fabulous. If anybody doesn't know that voice. Thank you. It was a lot of fun, but it was scary at the same time. And I'm still trying to carry it with me. And I did it going to her concert a couple of years ago. It was very close to Halloween. It was a small venue. I think it was Lincoln Jazz Hall, Jazz Center. It's only about 250 people can fit. I thought because it was the city, New York City, and it was close to Halloween, everybody would go dressed up. I put the full corset on, the tiara, the bracelets, the lasso, and I wore dark blue leggings and blue combat boots. And I marched my little butt right in there. And my husband was just going, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this. Well, I walked in and no one was dressed like Wonder Woman, not even a t-shirt. I was the only person. And I wanted to crawl in a hole and die at that moment. An older couple looked at me and gave me some look. And I may have said something not very nice back about her being my hero. There may be some expletives thrown in there because I was just so embarrassed. Concert started and I wasn't that close to the front. And all of a sudden, Linda Carter says, stop, turn the house lights up. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And she's like, there's somebody here dressed as Wonder Woman. And my only thought was, oh, thank God, there's another idiot here. It's not just me. That's what I thought until my husband went, she's talking about you. I know it. And I'm like, no, the queen wouldn't address me. Well, she starts saying, stand up, sweetie. You look beautiful. Stand up. And I start looking around for that other person. And finally, my husband goes, she's talking to you. I started crying immediately. I stood up. She blocked the bracelets. We did them back to each other. And she's like, you look incredible. Thank you so much. I love it. And then DC Comics, who were in the front row, all the big guns, stood up, turned around and looked at me and all applauded. Like I said, tears, just tears. I could die now. I'm a happy girl. Oh my gosh, I've been acknowledged. And even DC. Now, after the concert, a bunch of people who were giving me those looks wanted to take pictures with me afterwards because, you know, now it's different. But that's how much I love her. And I think when you are her, you do spread positivity and it will make a difference in someone's life. It's not about being a goody-goody. It's just about embracing it. So for my writer's tip today, I want to tell you to try to embrace your inner hero. Just like Wonder Woman, every writer has a power to draw from experiences and passions. When you face your challenges in writing, remember, your perspective is unique. No one can tell your story. Try channeling that energy and see if you can let your voice shine through your characters, your narratives. So as you embark on your writing journey, let that spirit of empowerment guide you. Embrace your individuality, your awkwardness, your quirkiness, whatever it is. Fight for your stories. And remember, like Wonder Woman or whoever your hero is, you have the strength to create a world that resonates with others. And going back to the original quote, that little positivity, that little compassion you put out in the world, that little creativity makes a difference to someone. There is someone out there that will hold your book and say, oh my gosh, this is my favorite author. Doesn't matter if you're a New York Times bestselling author or whatever. Somebody out there is going to be so happy for your story because they're going to connect with it and they're going to find themselves in your story, in your characters. And that's how you spread that positivity. If you're not a writer, it doesn't matter. Just smiling at someone, walking on the street, holding the door. I can't believe how many people need to be reminded of that, but okay. Letting someone out of the elevator first. Those little things resonate with people and make a big difference. And I think it's something we all need to be reminded of nowadays a little bit. Like I said, common courtesy isn't what it used to be. I'm not going to blame social media, go down that road. We're just going to leave that alone. But those moments of compassion, empathy, showing your spirit of kindness does make a difference because you don't know the weight that someone else is carrying or the luggage, the emotional baggage. You have no idea what it is. They don't know yours. So imagine how many times you've had a bad day and thought, oh, I could just use a break. I just need a little grace. If we all thought about those days and then gave it when we were having good days, we would make a difference. And I think that's kind of part of what Wonder Woman's about. So before we close the chapter on this episode, I'd like to ask you to think about your own journey. What stories from your life have inspired you to embrace your inner hero? Maybe you lost your inner hero. Maybe Batman was your thing when you were like 5 years old, but you haven't thought about Batman. You haven't thought about maybe Adam West. I'm throwing that one out there for my old folks. Okay, we all know. Maybe Christian Bale, whoever. If that was your hero, try to embody a little bit of it because a lot of these heroes' justice and kindness is there. Think about all of that and how can you channel it into your everyday life? Maybe as inspiration, like I said, just be a little nicer, or maybe standing up for somebody, when you know it's wrong. Those are little moments that I think if we reflect on, we can all take something away from it. I still have to remind myself sometimes about Wonder Woman and being compassion and kindness, because there are days I just don't want to give it. Let's face it. We all have those days. But if we can hold on to that spark when we were a kid and how we loved these heroes, regardless if they were superhero or not, doesn't matter. But whoever you looked up to, if you can kind of reach back to that kid and say, why do we love them? Why did you play pretend? And pull it back up from those depths of adulthood where you've sunk it so low, you don't even remember your underoos or what you did on the playground playing this character, whatever it was. If you can pull it back up just for a minute and think and channel that excitement and that innocence, it will make a difference, whether you're writing or whether you're just going about your business in everyday life. So I think those are the things that Wonder Woman has helped me with. And I hope hearing these stories makes you realize you can always reach back to that moment and grab something. So like I said, for me, it's been invaluable. It's helped me competing. I've even competed to the Wonder Woman theme song. I've done a musical form to the Wonder Woman theme song. We'll talk about that at Worlds another time. But that's how far it's gone, because sometimes I need that reminder. So I did get a question last week from someone who said, Danielle, this is great, but what books do you write? So I kind of forgot about that. For those of you who don't know, I write the Birth of the Fae series. It's about 8 books. I'm re-releasing all of them. They are on Audible. So if you want to kind of look at what I'm talking about with my female characters, take a listen. The first book is Locked Out of Heaven. It's out right now. It's actually on the Amazon bestseller list. See, I told you I'd break that list every now and then. I got it. But take a listen and maybe you can kind of read along with me when we get into those specific chapter stories. But if you have a question, you can always reach out to me on Instagram at birthofthefae_novel. birthofthefae_novel. You can always reach out and DM me and we can have another little discussion, and I'd love to help you out. Now, until next time, we're going to close this chapter right now. And I'm going to still leave you with that question. What stories from your life inspired your inner hero? What can you take from that and bring into today? Thank you so much. Enjoy your day.